I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I am, I always was, and I always will be a musician. But I also have a voice. I sing, and I do commercials and voiceovers. And for a long time, I did a radio talk show. It just so happened that on the morning of September 11th, I was on the air as it was happening. I remember turning on the television monitor as I was getting ready to join the network, because I was on the GCN network, the same network that carries the notorious Alex Jones and InfoWars. I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with Alex Jones. But I was getting ready to connect to the network, and I turned on my internet feed and my digital connection to the network and checked my levels. And I said, how much time we got? Oh, we'll be on in about 30 seconds. I said, okay. So let me see. Here's my news stories for this. I better turn on my CNN monitor here. Turn on the TV monitor for Fox. Okay. And then I looked at the monitor and went, oh my God, what's going on? One of the towers had already been hit. And I looked at the clock, and I was live in 3, 2, 1, bang. Well, ladies and gentlemen, before we play any music or do any intros, I need you to run, not walk, to your television. Turn it on right now, put a tape in, and start taping any network you can. Something horrible is going on in New York City as we speak. So go do it right now. And all over the country, that's exactly what people did. They went to their TVs, they put a VCR tape in, and started recording. And 3 minutes later on live television, the whole world saw the second tower get hit. And needless to say, that was just a horrible day of broadcasting. It was just horrible. I can't think of another word for it. And what happened is, in the weeks that followed, I received in the mail videotapes. I had a box of them, like 65, 70 videotapes, and it was all live footage. I had ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, Fox, but I also had WOR, WPIX, WNEW, WJAR, all the local stations in and around New York City. And then, you know, some time went by, and they started talking about the conspiracy theories. And so it prompted me to go back and start looking through these videotapes. And a lot of this stuff was not shown. I mean, I remember a couple of weeks after the 9/11 attacks, George Bush was on television, and he said, we got to stop showing these terrible attacks on America no more, because America needs time to heal. So they stopped showing replays. Well, they, you know, Fox has Fox footage. ABC's got ABC footage. CNN's got CNN footage. All the networks have their own footage. And I'm sitting here with a box, and I have all the footage. And when I started going through it, it blew my mind. And that's why I felt compelled to put together that documentary film, because I realized I was probably the only repository in the country who had access to all the footage.
Okay, so could you just sum up the In Plain Sight, which came out in 2004? Can mm-hmm. you just give us a real brief summary of some of your findings in that film?
Well, not so much findings. There were questions, you know. And as soon as you start to say, that, oh, here's what happened, here's what really happened, you know. Anybody who tries to tell you what really happened, you need to question. I just wanted to ask questions. You know, what was this? What is this what we just saw? You know, and there were the questions that I were raising were questions that some people didn't want asked, let alone answered. And this is what really ticked off a lot of people, because they'd say, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. And I'd say, really? What theory are you referring to? Because I don't have any theories. I was very careful not to come out and say definitively, well, that's what it was, or this is what happened. You know, there was the issue about whether or not there was something attached to the belly of the plane. Some people were saying, oh, it's a missile. Some people were saying, oh, it's a guidance system, or it's a this. I didn't know what it was. I didn't even know if it was. But the photographs and the videos clearly showed that there was something that was being drawn attention to. And then there was the issue about the both planes, just before they hit the towers, there was a flash. What is that flash? I don't know. What caused it? I don't know. And some people would say, well, if you don't know what it is, you shouldn't talk about it. I would respond by saying, hey, look, if we don't talk about it, how will we ever know what it is?
Well, that's right. I mean, one of the fascinating things about this is there's quite a lot of people have pointed out over the years, and certainly almost straight away, that something didn't seem quite right about those airliners. You know, whether or not they actually had windows in the sides like normal airliners, whether they were kind of cargo planes, mm-hmm. whether they had the logos of American Airlines or whatever on the side, or whether they were just gray Boeings, possibly military aircraft. These all are very, very important questions to ask. And I think that the research has now concluded a lot of this that you first pointed out makes mm-hmm. much, much more sense than the official story. But that was quite a while ago now. We've seen this interminable war of terror, you know, war on terror, as George W. Bush put it. Mm-hmm. But we're now in a kind of different phase, aren't we? Over the last year or so, certainly in the last 10 months, we've had this thing called COVID-19. And I'd be fascinated to know what you make of this. We're 10 months into it, Dave, and there is all sorts of questions. I wouldn't say similar to 9/11, but as important as the sort of questions we were asking people like you and I straight after 9/11 about COVID too. So anyway, what do you make of what's going on?
Well, I can't say definitively what's going on. I can only try to think outside of the cage. And I say outside of the cage because a cage is a little bit more difficult to break out of than a common box. And unfortunately, the intellectual cage that most of us are living in is created by the subterfuge and the propaganda that's thrown at us 24/7 by the mainstream networks. So to think outside of the cage, I want to turn the clock back a couple of years. Now, we know that once Trump was elected, and he started traveling around the country, he went to Saudi Arabia, he went to Israel, he went to the Vatican, he went to Brussels, and basically read all these people the Riot Act when it comes to sex trafficking, children, okay? This is a huge, huge issue. This is probably one of the biggest issues that humanity is facing right now, because this leads to all the others. But the bottom line here is that first, we have Harvey Weinstein from Hollywood. He gets busted. And then we have Jeffrey Epstein, and he gets busted. Now, we already know that this is an unspoken horror that is a global catastrophe. It is a global crime against humanity. And that these monsters were being exposed. And not only that, their power structure was being challenged. So take the clock back a couple of 2 years ago. You remember all the yellow vest protests that were going on all over Europe. I mean, every country in Europe was, you know, France. You guys were having yellow vests all over the place. Germany, Spain, Italy. Now, wait a second. How do world leaders feel when all these people get out in the streets? Does it make them feel too secure? Okay. So what would be a good way to clear out the streets? Oh, and by the way, let's not forget in Hong Kong, they were protesting by the millions in Hong Kong. So how would these world leaders all work to get these people off the streets? Well, how convenient. How about a pandemic? Okay. I'm not saying that this was purposely released. I'm suggesting it. I'm not going to say definitively that that's what happened. But you have to always ask the question, who benefits? Who benefits from the release of COVID-19? Well, it's not hard to figure out. We're witnessing the greatest transfer of wealth in the history of the world right now. Not only that, but we are also witnessing the suppression of rights of people all over the world. We're being socially conditioned not to speak to one another, cover your face, keep yourself social distance, stay at home. You know, this is social engineering. And so, yeah, I have to ask the question, who benefits from this whole COVID-19 thing? And I don't think it's too hard to figure out.
Are you suggesting that this is somehow deliberate? I mean, most people would say, well, sorry, Dave, but this is just a bug that's particularly nasty, particularly new. It's killed a lot of people, and responsible mm-hmm. leaders will be shutting society down to stop it spreading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you want to call it biological warfare, then call it what it is. But I can't help but think, I mean, there's so many indicators I mean, you look at the laboratory in Wuhan. Back in 2014, there was a moratorium on research into coronavirus in the United States. Okay, you can't do it here. Well, guess what? Tony Fauci siphoned $14 million, or was it 14, 4 million? I forget what it was. But he siphoned a bunch of money out of the National Institute of Health, which is taxpayer money, and paid for the research to continue in Wuhan, China. Now, not only that, but if you look up the patents on some of these coronaviruses, and also the luciferase, which is brought to you courtesy of Bill Gates, you notice that they all link into the Wuhan, China laboratories.
So hang on a minute. Luciferase, that sounds a little bit biblical. What the hell is that?
Okay, well, and what's even more interesting is the patent number. It's 060606. It's crazy. Go ahead and look it up. Have you got access to a computer right now?
And what does this stuff do?
Well, it's sort of trans... It turns your body into an operating system. So it will link through your neurological pathways to AI. It's sort of like a precursor to getting chipped. You know, I mean, they're messing with humans' DNA here. This is, you know, you're messing with God's creation here.
Well, hang on, because, you know, even the mRNA vaccine people, Pfizer and Moderna, are churning out these new types of, well, they call them a vaccine. A lot of medical people dispute whether it actually is a vaccine or not. It does alter your individual cells' DNA. It goes in there and it gets the cells to start producing the spike protein for COVID. But the Pfizer and Moderna, Dave, will argue, well, it's not really altering your DNA other than in a few specific cells in order to trigger an immune response.
Well, yeah, I'm sure we can trust Moderna and Pfizer for making, you know, for being honest about what they're putting in these vaccines, right? But wait a second. It seems to me that, and there's been more than one source of this particular information. I saw there was a conference up in Belfast, it was a month or so ago, and the reporter came out of there and said, look, they've had to admit that they have not been able to isolate the COVID-19 virus. And that's not just one source, there are several sources that say the same thing. Now, wait a second, common sense. If they haven't isolated it, how in God's world can they create a test to detect it? And even worse, how can they develop a vaccine to fight it if they haven't identified it yet? So, I mean, these are vital questions. And again, I don't have the answers. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm just laying out the facts. They say if you haven't identified a virus, how can you make a test for it or a vaccine for it? And if they're testing and if they're vaccinating, what is going on? Is there something else going on behind the scenes? And all of a sudden you find out that there are these patents for luciferase, et cetera, and you find all these connections between the financing of the laboratory in Wuhan, you know, and yes, George Soros has got his fingers in it. Yes, Bill Gates got his fingers in it. You know, it's always the same cast of characters. So again, we have to ask the question, who benefits? Because so far, from what I'm hearing, the negative reactions, allergic reactions and deaths that are being caused by the vaccine are far worse than the actual virus itself. So, you know, again, I'm thinking outside of the cage here, and hopefully your listeners will do the same. Just start asking these questions, put the puzzle pieces together, use common sense and ask the question, who benefits?
Well, one thing that definitely is going on in the background is something called the Great Reset. This is supposed to be a complete change in the way global capitalism functions, if that's possible, to hit the reset button on the IMF. Now, actually, the Earth, Dave, has been screaming out for this for decades. So this surely, at least, is something good that may come out of this.
Well, it depends on what kind of reset that you're talking about. If this is the reset that Klaus Schwab is talking about, I want nothing to do with it, nothing whatsoever. Now, if you want to talk about a reset like what's going on right now in the United States, of course, in all the conspiracy circles, that the election was thrown, was tampered with, and that Donald Trump actually won by a landslide, but they have these Dominion systems and hammer and scorecard that basically switched votes, et cetera, et cetera. And why would that happen? Well, maybe there's another great reset going on behind the scenes that the globalists don't want you to know about. And specifically, what I mean by that is that the deep state, these monsters that have been involved in sex trafficking and drug trafficking and endless wars and subterfuge and creating all the problems that humanity has, are being exposed. Now, I'm going to get into rainbows, unicorns, and butterflies for just a moment. Now, I'm sure we all know that for the past century or more, there have been technologies that have been suppressed. We always hear about Tesla technology, Royal Raymond Rife technology. We hear about, you know, propulsion systems that are suppressed. We hear about medical breakthroughs that are suppressed because they all have to protect their profit margin. You know, there's no money in a cure. So there's always lots of money for treatments, but they never find a cure. Now, what if all of that technology, the Tesla, the Rife, the propulsion systems, the medical breakthroughs, what if all of this was released at the same time? Now, if you put that idea on this burner over here, now I'm going to turn on the heat. Okay, now I'm going to turn on the other burner, and then the other burner, what if the world's wealth that has been plundered from the humanity for generations and stockpiled in repositories such as the Rothschild banks or the Royal Palace or the Vatican, what if those hundreds of trillions, if not quadrillions of dollars worth of wealth were to be recovered and released to humanity? And that funding was used for the whole world to retool and change the whole world. Now that's a reset I can get behind. And guess what? It's looking more and more like this is not just some sort of a pipe dream, but this could very well actually be happening. Now this might be a big psyop. This could be a global psyop for the entire world to have hope, but be dashed and taken away from you if the globalists and the Klaus Schwabs have their way. What I see happening right now, and I don't mean to sound too esoteric, but I see a battle between good and evil going on the entire planet right now. And what's going to happen in the next few weeks is, you know, here in the United States, I mean, if Donald Trump did win the election, and if the Democratic Party was in bed with the Chinese Communist Party to throw the election, what if Trump left office and they swear Biden in as the president of the United States of America incorporated, but the corporation was dissolved last November. So there is no United States of America incorporated, which means that Biden is the president of nothing. So who's running the country right now? Right now, the military, because the Insurrection Act would most definitely be appropriate if there was a hijacked election. I mean, this is big, big, big stuff going on over here. And if the military is in charge, well, they've only got a certain amount of time to figure out exactly how you would reseat a duly elected president. So there's a lot of discussion behind back, you know, closed doors and in conspiracy circles that Donald Trump did win the election, and that the evidence is going to come out. And when it comes out, there will be thousands of people who will be brought up on charges of high treason.
Well, this sounds a little bit like hope porn. QAnon stuff. The idea
it's
that
it's better than fear porn, that's for sure.
Well, that's true. I mean, although, of course, there are things we really do need to be afraid of, and often that fear porn is just a distraction from things which might actually hit us. But anyway, I'd just be really interested to get your take on Bill Gates, because he's been such a big figure in all of this. Mm-hmm. You know, he's obviously a very, very powerful man who made his money not through being any kind of great innovator technically. He really got a kind of franchise from the Central Intelligence Agency and the National Security Agency to run out an operating system which was going to sweep the planet, which of course Microsoft and Windows did, in order to give the intelligence services a backdoor into every computer on the planet. And they gave him a great big pat on the back and said, thank you very much for everyone's data and information. We've now got total information awareness, apart from people maybe who've got proper security on their laptops or Linux, possibly. But anyway, so Bill Gates has figured massively in all this, and it's bizarre to see that he has gone away over the last couple of decades from his computer background to get really deeply into vaccines. And of course, the vaccine is the thing that features absolutely centrally in all of this COVID stuff, because the basic cures, which have been proven to be, well, very effective, and in fact up to 90% ivermectin, 90% effective in curing people in the early stages of COVID, have been totally blocked. In fact, even insurance companies threatening to basically stop insuring hospitals if their doctors are using things like ivermectin and chloroquine. So there's been a deliberate stopping of one of the main cures, which is very cheap, and
again,
being forced towards vaccine.
Who benefits? Again, why would they stop that? I mean, hydroxychloroquine has been out there for 80 years. It's been used all over the world. I mean, sold over the counter in many different countries. I mean, people take those like aspirin in certain parts of the world with no problem. And now all of a sudden, oh my God, hydroxychloroquine is dangerous. Anybody who talks about it is dangerous. We have to censor anybody who even says hydroxychloroquine. Get them off of Facebook. Take their Twitter account down. Why would they do that? Who benefits? Again, these treatments and maybe even cures that you just brought up are a direct threat to their agenda.
But Bill Gates actually comes across as quite an affable chap, doesn't he?
Yes, you know, and radiator fluid has a sweet smell and a pretty color too, but if you drink it, you die. Okay? You can sugarcoat anything that you want, but it's the function of what it is that they're selling, which is the important thing that we watch. So what is it Bill Gates was saying? He was on MSNBC about a year or so ago, and he was talking about his $10 billion. What was it, 10 million or 10 billion? I don't know. It doesn't make any difference. The bottom line is he said he's putting in $10 million expecting to get $200 million back. You know, I mean, it's an investment. It's money. You know, that is what drives these people. They don't care about humanity. Are you kidding me? If the government or these monsters actually cared about humanity, they would have gone after Monsanto 30 or 40 years ago. They would have gone after all the companies that are throwing additives in our food and putting prions in our plastics and bisphenol A in our foods that's altering our hormones. You know, if they cared about humanity, they would have been cleaning this stuff up a long time ago. So now they come out with a vaccine, say, hi, I'm from the government. I'm here to help you and save your life. Bull crap. Sorry. You had your chance to gain my trust. And once you lose trust, you never get it back again. So anybody wants to, you know, government agency that wants you to stick your arm out because they want to help you, for what? To not have me catch this virus? And we already know the mortality rate is the same as a bad flu bug. I mean, the question is, okay, you're over there in the UK. How many people have died from influenza this year? How many people have died from heart attacks?
Well, very few. Very few.
I'm sorry?
Well, very few from influenza, but quite a lot from various other things, because they haven't been treated or they've been simply afraid to go to hospital.
Well, what I'm saying is that if you have the flu bug or you go in with a heart attack and you pass away and they test you for COVID-19 and it's positive, then guess what? It's a COVID-19 death. There's a difference between dying from COVID-19 or dying of or with COVID-19. I mean, we all have coronaviruses. You know, if you've ever had the flu, you've got a coronavirus in your system. And they've been saying, and they've come out now, the CDC's had to come out and admit that these tests can be up to 97% false positive. It's working to their benefit. Oh, you got COVID-19. Oh, then you got to have a vaccine. You know, it's the cards are stacked in this game. They really are. I have to say, okay, if you look at how many people usually die, I mean, I looked it up a couple days ago. It's usually 400-something thousand people die each year from influenza. And this year it's like 987. So what happened to all those people who died from the flu? Well,
yeah. those 399,000, you know, so what's happened to them? But look, okay, so there's certainly lots and lots that doesn't add up in all of this. It's almost like every fact that we're told by the TV, the radio, the newspapers, almost every fact doesn't add up. And if there is something that does make sense, it's just a kind of tiny blip, one line in the news, and then it's gone. And it never comes back again because it doesn't fit with that pattern. There is a kind of a hysteria. I think quite a lot of people would agree. There's a kind of hysterical fixation going on here. And of course, this panders to those who are the sort of obsessive hand washers, people who, you know, love washing their hands all the time. Now they're proved right. For all those years, they were obsessively washing their hands. They were doing the right thing now. The government's patting them all on the back. But so what would you suggest, finally, Dave, as a way of kind of detuning from this and tuning into some sort of more positive wavelength? Because, you know, for a lot of people, this is driving everyone nuts. They are in the situation now where we're being told that permanent lockdowns may be going on and off for years now, which is absolutely unprecedented in any kind of pandemic. Yeah. You can kind of manage to stomach it for a month or something, or maybe even 2 months when your old Gombert's curve goes up and comes down again. But now it seems like a bit like the war on terror. It's going on forever.
Well, yeah. I mean, you have to ask yourself the question, okay, where do you get your official information? Well, before I ask that question, I will ask, do you trust the government and the media? Yes or no? So most people, you ask the question, do you trust the government? Do you trust the media? It's usually no, I don't, and no, I don't. So the next question, where do you get most of your official information? From the media or the government, right? Now, how does that make sense? It's garbage in, garbage out. People who are raised and weaned on a steady diet of misinformation, disinformation, and lies are going to find that the truth tastes funny when you try to eat it. Okay? The powers that be do not want truth out there. They lie. And so, you know, like you said, if your opinions are built from misinformation, disinformation, and lies, then that means your opinion is an extension of the lie. We're being gaslighted. We're being lied to. We're being manipulated, socially engineered. Whatever term that you want to put on it, it's garbage in, garbage out. So if you want to know, if you want to know what to do, I say take off your masks. Go out, have fun, open the restaurants, hang out, go play in the mud, get dirty. That's how you build your immune system. You know, by putting on masks and frantically hand washing, your body needs to stay in good health. And it's sort of like your immune system needs exercise. If you start eliminating anything that might make you a little bit infected or a little bit sick or something like that, if there's nothing there for your immune system to work on, eventually it atrophies. You end up hurting your immune system. You need to be exposed to stuff every day. So yeah, throw the mask away. Go to the pub. Have a, you know, tip a couple pints. Give somebody a hug. You know, grab that girl next to you and give her a kiss. You know, just be human. This is what they're doing. They're taking away your humanity. The psychology of covering up your face. I mean, my gosh, that not only muzzles you, but it takes away your ability to express. You know, when you look at somebody and they raise their eyebrows, or they squint, or they smile, or their jaw drops. These are all facial expressions that are being stolen from you. This is your humanity that's being taken from you. This is why they're doing it. Getting everybody scared to death and staying at home and not afraid to interact with everybody. Who benefits? You must ask that question to everything that's going on right now. And listen to your heart. Your heart won't lie to you. But you know what? These SOBs on television are lying to you 24/7. They have their agenda. They don't care about you. They want money and they want control. And there's just too many awake people out there. Let's get rid of a whole bunch of them. Let's get rid of some, you know, the elderly, because they're taxing the system. You know, I mean, again, think outside the cage, folks. Just put the puzzle pieces together. And sometimes this is sort of like a big jigsaw puzzle, but you don't get to look at the box. You don't know what the picture is. So you look at each one of these issues and you study them, and one by one, the puzzle pieces will start to fit together. And when you start to see the big picture, that's when things get really interesting and, yeah, pretty scary. But you can't fight an enemy that you can't see. So you have to look at these puzzle pieces. You have to ask the tough questions. And above all, ask who benefits.
And where can listeners follow your work online or elsewhere, Dave?
Okay, well, all my stuff is out there on YouTube, and it's free. You know, I have nothing to sell. And by the way, there are people selling my albums. I have no idea who they are. Okay, fine, whatever you want to do. But if you go to Dave Von Kleist, VonKleist, just go to YouTube. Just type in my name. A lot of that stuff will just pop up. Or you can go to my website, DaveVonKleist.com. I'm not much into self-promotion. I don't feel comfortable, tooting my own horn. I'll let somebody else toot it for me, but I still don't feel comfortable with that. You know, what I do for everybody, and I do it for free. I have nothing to sell, nothing to gain from it, except for the fact that I know that I'm standing in a light.
Whereabouts in the U.S. are you?
I'm in the great state of Montana, up near the mountains.
Right, so what town? Was it a city or something?
No, there's a little town called Whitefish in the Flathead Valley. Glacier National Park. And it's just beautiful mountains there. I mean,
is it
just
snowy there?
It's not too bad. We've had a very mild winter. We have a couple of flakes coming down right now. But the town that I'm in is a big ski town. And they're doing quite well. I think that in the United States, I think Whitefish is listed as number 7 on the top 10 places to go skiing. So there's a huge tourist industry here in the wintertime and also in the summertime, because Glacier National Park is only about 35 minutes from here. And it's, you know, the Continental Divide goes right through it, and it's just an absolutely gorgeous national park.
But not this winter, surely.
Oh, the mountains have the snow. Yeah, the mountains are doing fine. I mean, Whitefish is, you know, they're skiing up there as we speak. Oh, yeah, that's fine. But I'm just saying is we're not getting dumped on with, you know, several feet of snow. Sometimes it happens, but not this winter.
And have you found in the U.S. some states are dealing differently with the COVID?
Well, yeah. It was at South Dakota. I can't remember the governor's name, but she never shut anything down. She just basically said, you know, okay, go ahead and do your thing, but we're not shutting it down. And they've been doing just great, you know. So other states, okay, like Florida, they had shutdowns, but then they opened it up again. So, you know, it's up to the governor of each state to determine, you know, how he or she wants to handle the COVID crisis.
Dave Von Kleist, thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. I hope that your listeners will take some of the stuff that I threw on the table here, take it to heart, and just, you know, listen to your heart. Listen to your inner self. You know, don't rely on Big Brother or the BBC or Prince so-and-so. Don't listen to them. Listen to your inner voice. Listen to your heart. Listen to God.